Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Tarek here.
Shoppy Charlie here.
Prunk Chocolate here.
Lando here.
And I want to personally invite you to our
first live and in-person event
on April 20th, 2024.
Live and Lit Chicago will be our chance to connect with you in a truly unique,
one-of-a-kind experience. We will be hosting a three-course breakfast,
a watch party for Man City vs. Tottenham,
and more to be announced later. You can purchase your tickets,
pre-order merch, or simply donate to our event on GiveButter.
Tap the link in the post or scan the QR code on the screen.
We want to thank our friends at FanFest Live for being our official event sponsor. Damn, they do a great job.
I look forward to getting live and lit with you in April.
You know the vibes.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
Didn't T say he was in the...
I thought he said that he was, but I don't see him.
Yeah, that was like 20 minutes ago, though. So he might have. I just replied to his thread, like, hey, Tom just brought us on. Because I know I had gotten off once, so he probably
yeah.
Got off
and come yeah, back in. That's true.
Yeah. Tom, can I ask you a random question?
Yes.
When did you make the decision to be Tom, T H O M, versus most people who are named Tom? They just go by T O M. When did you make that choice?
So, like, it was becoming very obvious to me that, like, I liked the way that Tom sounded, but like you can't be black in America after 1865 and be Tom.
Wow, that's real.
Okay, this is what's really gonna throw you for a loop. So my grandpa, he like was one of those like I'll get up at 3:30 in the morning, but I also like go to bed at like 7:30. So like if you wanted to watch baseball, like. For the majority of his life, like he would have to watch the Cubs. So, like when he watched a lot of WGN. So, like Tom Brenneman was one of the announcers, and I was like, I like the way he does that. And then, like, come to find out, like you know, he's saying homophobic shit, like right in Kansas City.
Damn it!
Jesus Christ!
Damn it! Damn. Just when I want to like you,
right? So, yeah. So yeah, I think that's
okay.
That's where I came to stand on it. So I think that was like I was 13. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Thank you for that. I always wonder. It came to me earlier when I was late. I was like, I wonder why. I like it. It has right. It looks great.
You know? It looks and different, right? Yeah, exactly. Important. I introduced myself to somebody one day, and they were like, "Yeah, my name's Tom." It's like, I bet you spell it with a Y, don't you? I was like, "No, I don't do that." But like, yeah, I do spell it differently. It's like I knew it. All right, let's. I don't know. I think I'm keeping that in.
Do we go men first or women first? Which I want to talk about.
Do you think that, like, maybe we can, like, because I don't really have a whole lot to say about the Conti Cup match, but I was thinking about, like, just kind of doing the matches in chronological order.
Because the women went first. Like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, and then just move right into the men. Yeah. Okay.
Perfect. Wait, because did we talk about the Copenhagen match?
Champions League. I totally forgot about the second match. That's so long ago now. It's like a whole week. Yeah, okay. So Copenhagen. Yeah. Copenhagen, Conti,
then Conti Cup, yeah.
Okay, Bill. Sounds great.
All right, cool.
That's funny.
Hey, the move is when you the wonderful. I hate it. You have permission to make a mistake. You have permission to lose. You have permission. And that's when we get big.
Yeah, I'm a genius.
I think we're forgetting the most important thing. We're forgetting about focusing just on ourselves.
But we can do better. We need to take the next step, and there's no better place than taking the next step here.
Show ourselves out there how much we want to win it again.
We win four of the last five Premier League, guys. Four of the last five Premier League. Are we
going to
do it again?
Don't ask me again about doubles, triples, quadruples, fifth-tuples, six-tuples, and seven-tuples. So,
you heard the man, Do not do it. When Josep Guardiola says don't do it, don't do it. And if you want to be like João Cancelo, well, you see what happened to João Cancelo. What's going on, everyone? Thank you so much for joining us for episode 92.
92.
Yes, of Shades of Blue. I am Tom Bomb. I am joined this evening by the homie Sharpie Charlie and the homie Lando. Gentlemen, how are we feeling this evening?
Feeling better than I did yesterday. I'll say.
Yeah.
Time heals all wounds.
Ooh, amen. Ooh, a word. A word.
I'm going to be honest with Charlie kind of insinuating it. We're not out. We're just settled thick into the trenches, my guy. Get comfortable, buckle up, get a nice, toasty, comfy seat, because for the next month and a half, we're about to be butt cheeks tight pressure. We're in the trenches, boys. That's how I feel.
I believe the Marines have a saying where it's like, embrace the shit. We're in the shit.
I really like that.
Yep, embrace it.
Yeah.
And let's get to it. We've been here before. It's not our first rodeo.
Nope.
Facts.
So, before we get started, we need to do all of the important things right now. If you are listening to us on your digital streaming platform of choice, please hit that like. Mm-hmm. Please give us those 5 stars, or what's the point? If you are viewing us on these alphabet streets, what I mean by Google streets, yes, on YouTube, please hit the like button, subscribe, comment below. We need your engagement. We appreciate y'all so much.
This man said these alphabet streets, yes, to the parent company. Okay, we going. Mm-hmm. We got levels. That's crazy, Tom. That's a good one.
Right. So please do all of those things. We're excited that for we want to thank the 175 people, 180, I think, people that joined us on the live stream yesterday. That was, you got to see us be very emotional. It was, we were all feeling some big feelings. I think that that's the best way to put that. So, thank you all to all 180 y'all, who came through. We appreciate y'all. So I think what we're going to do for this show is, I think we would like to, what we're going to do is go back into time. We're going to start with the Copenhagen match, and then we're going to jump into the Conti Cup match. Then the Adobe FA Cup, match, and then end with the Liverpool match. So I guess we got to start with the Copenhagen match. Gentlemen, it's been so long since that match actually occurred. Like, give me something about that match that confirms a bias, something of yours. Give me something on that match that you were intrigued to see, and something on that match that might be bothersome to come.
5 minutes in, Manuel Akanji gives me the ever-living comfort of knowing that a brother can hold us down, that a good man can bring us up. First off, what a rocket of a shot. That's one thing that just sticks with me. You guys remember that Manuel Akanji shot off the corner 5 minutes into the game to give us a 1-0 lead? Beautiful, huh?
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Like, yeah.
Gorgeous.
What's our coach's name? Plaisance? Because I feel like he's been in his bag lately. Like,
I feel like
the first two goals were essentially set piece goal. Like, now, granted, Alvarez, like, there's no way that actually should have been a goal, and that was like it was funny to me. So that is my like indelible memory from this particular match. Charlie, where are you at on this match?
I'm gonna just start with the lineup, right? Like, I was in class when it dropped, and so just to see that Bob, Akanji, Lewis, all start at the same time. That made me really happy, especially the two young ones, right? We expect Akanji to start a lot of games, but to see Lewis, he had been out for a while. So to see his name on the team sheet, Bob getting a chance. Now, him playing with Alvarez and Nunez, I didn't know where he would play, but just to know that he was getting more time, I think that's huge. And if you look at his trajectory, it is so similar to Phil Foden's. Foden, when he started, it was very seldom used. We saw the talent. We saw the brilliance. But Pep was like, no, we're just going to, you know, he's got bigger size, got bigger names. You're playing with world-class players. You have to bide your time and keep working. And when you come on, do what you do. And so this match was very similar to, like, no disrespect to Copenhagen, but really when you think about the aggregate score of 3-1 at home, it has the same feel as like one of those Millwall-type FA Cup games, right? It's like, we know we're going to win. And so, thusly, Wes's play, but also let's see some younger talent. So to see that made me happy. Also was happy to see Vardy all back fit because he had been out for a while. And so knowing what he could provide. So seeing the changes, and I pat myself on the back, I had called 7 changes on the last episode. There were 7 changes. So I just think, like, you know, me understanding Pep makes me feel good too. There you go.
There it is. There it is.
If I had the insight into a genius like you do, clearly, Charlie, like, yes, like, absolutely. Like, I would take all the credit in the world for that. Were we at all concerned about giving up a goal at home? Especially so early. I mean, Tarek's not here.
Special goal. It's a great goal. Like,
it was actually.
Former Southampton player, El Unasi, right? Like, hit a beautiful strike. I can't get mad at beautiful goals. I get mad at ones that we give up. But if you hit that Rashford strike, you hit that type of strike, I tip my cap to you and I say, hey, we're still up 2-1, right? Like, that's obviously. How did you feel, Ando?
Well, I think I went back and looked at the stats, and then I think it was just a nice little curler that he put to the far corner, and it was nice. But I think to Tom's point, what he's alluding to, and I may be wrong on this, is that beautiful little counterattack that they did have, which, you know, again, maybe counterattacks are going to be something we talk about a little bit later. But
ooh, Lord of Jesus.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, there was a nice little 1-2. It was only 2 of them, and Luisi had a nice finish. Yeah. But overall, I don't know, man. Again, I can't emphasize enough, Akanji's goal 5 minutes in gave me all the comfort and warmth I needed.
Because, I mean, at that point, you knew we were going to go through.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Up 4-1 on aggregate, we're not giving up 3 more goals. I will say this, because I think, Tom, one of your prefacing questions is like something that stays with you or something that happened throughout the match that lingers. And for me, it was surprising to see Haaland play the full 90. Like, it was the most useless 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I felt like you could have subbed him out with Rodri right at halftime. But Pep saw it differently. And maybe it's a thing to get his numbers up because he didn't miss so much time. And we know goal scorers like to score goals. And maybe that Champions League top scoring record matters. You know what I'm saying? I don't know the reasons. But you can't tell me, like, hey, you're up 5. I'm sorry, at halftime, you're up 6-2 on aggregate. Let's keep Haaland out there. If something bad happens, it is a terrible decision, right? Thankfully, nothing did. But I think that's what Tarek would talk about, right? Like, process versus results. The process definitely made me question a little bit. I'm just happy didn't bite us in the ass.
I want to put a pin in that. I want to put a pin in that because I do want to come back to that when we talk about the Liverpool match. but I think I do want to... I don't want to move on before we like get too into this, but is there anything that anybody else wanted to add? Leto, do you want to add something on this particular match?
Nope. I'm just making sure that this pen is getting made and I'm typing it into the chat because I think this is going to be an absolute excellent example of something we'll need later. I'm happy you brought it up.
All right. Exciting stuff. All right, so we're gonna move on to the Conti Cup match. I would say, like, looking at the lineup, you knew what the lineup was gonna be. Kiara Keating, Kirsten Kasper, Leigh Alexandri, Alex Greenwood, Layla Wahabi, Yui Hasegawa, Jess Park, Laura Coombs, Chloe Kelly, Bunny Shaw, Lauren Hemp. You knew what our lineup was going to be. I think the biggest question was, how was Chelsea going to set up? And I got to say, them setting up in that 4-4-2, I think, and them playing Kankovic off of Ramirez, I think it really did throw us off. And you saw that because within the first 8 minutes, one of your most reliable players, Lai Alexandri, you know, gets the pass from the keeper, tries to progress it upfield to Yui Hasegawa, leaves the pass short. And then all of a sudden, Ramirez is on the ball and is running on to goal with Lauren James on her right. And Lauren James beats Kiara Keating near post. There was a whole lot of I don't know, like individual errors that led to that goal. You don't expect your keeper to get beaten near post. You definitely don't expect, and not to say that Yui Hasegawa was not in a good position to receive the ball. Like the pass was just short, and like when she noticed that, she like did try and get in the way, but like Byron Ramirez like is not a physical matchup for Byron Ramirez in the midfield like that. So it, you know, it's just real easy. 1-2, they're up 1-0 in a match that you would think that we would want to start better. And I think what makes it even harder to take is that Bunny, who will be a theme over these two cup matches, has not been meeting headers the best. And she had an opportunity in the fifth minute to put away a really nice cross, and she just mistimed the jump. So at that point, like Chelsea used the same game plan against us that we use against them at King's Meadow. Like they just choked off the game. They sat back. They made us break them down and try and get good chances, and we didn't get many good chances, and the chances that we did get, we did not convert. We were very not clinical in this particular match, and it was very disappointing to see, especially since, you know, this, because it is a cup competition, like, you can get away with playing that way, but like even in the league, you're kind of like, I don't know if we can keep doing this. So it hurts. We've went out in the semifinals in the Conti Cup. That is one less competition that the women have to worry about for this particular season. It sucks. I know Krunk probably had some clips of Gareth, but I did not go through them, and I don't know where the team's focus necessarily is. Was it always on the league? And like, it's just going to be interesting to see how the team combats from coming back from that, which sucks.
So I had a quick thought while you were talking, and, you know, I try to find some solace in things. And I'm not gonna lie to you, this was a terrible result to see, only because we had just beaten them, right? And so we know we could beat them. But these are the matches where one goal matters. And, like, it's hard to score when a team gets up and they are good at defending and they choose to defend. And I think that's the difference, right? It's like, we do it too. We are great defenders, but we love the ball. But if we need to defend, we lock in and we will protect that lead, you know. But the old Under Armour ad, we must protect this house. Like, that is what we do. That is what they do. And so I do want to say this. Emma Hayes making that tactical decision, because I know at the same time, right, we go back to last week, we also had Gold Cup going on, the first ever CONCACAF Women's Gold Cup. It gave me a lot of hope because it let me know that, hey, we're about to get this manager who knows how to win. And I think once you get past what should happen, what, you know, you want aesthetically, all that bull, wins matter. Just get the 3 points. Move on in a cup of competition, in a knockout situation. And you need that back.
Are you talking about getting Emma as a USA manager?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had to do this. Yes. And I had to do this only because
we're looking for positivity out of it.
I needed something.
Okay. That makes me feel better. I do thank you for this.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, you know that the U.S. women went on Sunday night to beat Brazil and claimed the first ever women's Gold Cup, which was amazing. And you saw some of that old steeliness, right? It wasn't pretty, it wasn't gorgeous, but we won. And I like winning. And so with this match, when I left it, I said, okay, we had a tough L, but we're going to come back against Spurs. And we get a chance in another competition to see what we can do and to beat a team that, again, we had beaten before. So I was hopeful that, hey, we take one L, we won't take two. So that's how I felt after the match.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, I mean, you see a team like Spurs and you expect to win. But, you know, to Lando, to your point, like, you can only play a club so many times and them not just kind of know what's going on. So the FA Cup match versus Spurs, the lineup was basically the same. The only change that you really saw was Philippa Engeldahl came in for Laura Coombs, which was actually a really good change. Like, she played a really, really good match. I was surprised with the amount of control that she had and like how forward she was getting and like looked comfortable doing it.
It's a contract year for her, right?
Yes, it is a contract year.
Yeah. And you haven't been playing consistently. Coombs has taken over that role since Rort came out. Well, first Rort took over from played most of last year. And then Coombs was the choice to replace Injure Ward. So now she's like, look, I got to go out here and prove my worth. And so to see her step up was definitely dope. And good move on gas to give Coombs a rest.
So, Charlie, I can't help but take that. And again, I'm happy about the positivity here about talking about that, how a person or a player can take a pressure moment like a contract extension and contract talks and thrive in the moment. I'd like to take that to the negative and propose the concept that Gareth Taylor sitting on a contract extension maybe just had a lay of the egg and absolute shit himself few weeks. I mean, we just noted, and I could be wrong. I'm proposing it. I don't know enough to say this is how I feel. I'm saying a coach, a change in Emma Hayes. Now, again, Emma Hayes is great. What they saw with Chelsea, where's GT with the changes? We're saying the club, the squads, and Tom likes the squad and likes the 11. So if I'm okay with it too, if he likes it as well, because
that's on me, because he did have another change, and it's really important because he had two changes. He actually sat Chloe Kelly and started Mary Fowler, who goal scorer important.
She did.
And the goal that she took was really pretty. It was a good team goal.
Bunny shot key pass or assist, right?
Yes.
Did it count as an assist for Bunny? Yeah. I know it was the
play. Did he give her the assist?
It wasn't an own goal. They should.
It was a key pass. They didn't, at least Google did. Yeah.
Haters gonna hey.
Yeah, they're not crediting her the assist.
No, they did. Oh, well, one football did. They did get it. It says it up there. Yeah. Oh, so I'll take it. Whatever. But we know Bunny lets that go, right? She's exactly. Quit.
Right. Yeah. And then we just, it was almost like we were like, oh, we're going to do the same game plan that we did against Chelsea, which was weird because Spurs are as good as Chelsea. And so we're just like, we didn't have a whole lot of chances. Like, even though we had like 2/3 of the ball, it was like we were kind of like keeping it like in the middle of the park. I don't remember us like, I think I remember one other chance that Bunny had that she skied a header.
And this is what you said it in the first match, and I was putting a pin in my mental brain, because when you're that much bigger than your opponents, and we see it with Haaland too, again, same club, same passion, you got to make these fucking headers, bro. Like, you are this big. Like, you got to be bigger than people. Like, that's how Lindsey Horan won for the cup. You just get up and be big. And so for you to, like, miss these key chances, doesn't take away from your greatness, doesn't take away from, mm-hmm. you know, the incredible work you put in and the love we have for you. But it's a true, like, area of weakness right now. Like, that has to be a better skill that improves probably over the summer, right? It's going to be hard to improve in mid-season. I think also what we saw is, what was that, 3 matches in a week? Or at least these were close, right? That was Thursday to Sunday.
Like 10 days.
Three matches in 10 days. It's just a lot. It's a lot. And I think we just especially ran out of games.
And coming off an international break where, like, you know, like, at least one, like, at least two of your starters from these two, like, competitions, like, because, you know, yes, Yui, you know, like, that was a whole bunch of time zones. Mary Fowler and Alana Kennedy, that was a whole bunch of time zones as well. So, like, yeah, there was quite a bit of, like, just travel associated with that. So, like, you're wondering if, like, you didn't get, like, that much rest. Like, I know Krunk said in the last episode, like, Yui just looked jet lagged, like, and that's, like, in the league match. And that's why you were just like, okay, you get a 2-1 result at home over Everton in the league. Perfect. Move on, find another day.
And so I know we don't have, oh, I'm sorry. We're middle through the match. So yeah. Miss Header, it sucked. Tom, what happens next?
So then I'm pretty sure that Bunny Shaw, like, dislocated her shoulder. At least that, like, that's, I have not heard or seen any injury reports. I don't want to, like, but to me, like, she was holding her shoulders, like, that's not, like, how it's supposed to lay, right? So she comes off the field. We bring on Laura Coombs for her, which I didn't really understand. And then we also bring on Esme Morgan for Layla Wahabi, which I also didn't understand. So then you have your front three of Lauren Hemp, Jess Park moved up onto the wing on the right, and then Mary Fowler on the left. And Mary or Lauren Hemp's going to do good work, but, like, she's not going to give you the hold up play that Bunny Shaw is clearly going to, like, I think, Charlie, you said it, like, one of the biggest things that they, like, the Strikers for both the men and the women, like, have in common is, like, you got it, like, being so much bigger than your competition, you have to put these headed chances, aerial chances away. One of the things I do feel truly that Bunny excels at, that Holland is still getting better at, but is not as good. Like, Bunny's hold up play is impeccable. Like you, if you get it up to her, she is going to hold on to the ball at least long enough to, like, get it to, one of the mid, somebody coming into the midfield or from the midfield to just connect with her. So, Holland is getting better. And we've seen that over the last couple of matches, actually. But he's still not to Bunny's level. And I think that was one of the cool things about yesterday, is, like, watching them both kind of operate, at the same time. So at that point, you know, we're cruising. They bring on Beth England. They had started Martha Thomas. I think they're working Beth England back from an injury. Beth England comes on and she, like, provides a really big spark, but, like, I'm not sure if the spark was just, like, shorting out Kiara Keating's brain at, like, the end of stoppage time. When she decides to come for a ball that she doesn't have to come for, that Lia Alexandri, like, promptly misplays into Beth England's path and into the back of the net, and all of a sudden it's 1-1 and we're going to extra time.
Let's stop. If this was any other team's goalkeeper making the same play, the jokes we would let off, because I was just like, and now this is where you need calm, you need peace, because I was in a different place Sunday, because both matches are going on, my emotions are heightened. You know, I didn't say anything, I think, totally disrespectful, but it's like, you can't do that. Like, there is no reason to be that aggressive in the 90-whatever minute. Like, you don't have to do it. You let your defenders figure it out, and you are the last line of defense. You make a save, and we know you're a great shot stopper. But to be that aggressive and almost like lose yourself on the pitch, because yeah, your hands are not an option at that point, and all you're relying on is your head, and you're already a shorter keeper. It's just, man, that hurt to see. Because it was like so deflating. You felt like we were going to steal one. The injuries, coming back off the Chelsea loss, to go, you know, travel again and go at it again to London and really come away moving on. It hurt, man. It hurt so much. And I felt bad for Kiar. Like, you see your players make mistakes. But that's not the first time this happened. And I think it was just compounded while watching the men also suffer.
Yes.
So seeing both of your teams suffer at the same time, almost like, because I think the men had scored, had gave up the goal like right before.
They gave up the penalty. And like, as we were watching, they gave up the penalty and Kiar Keating made the gap at the same time.
It was like, too much. It was too much. At the same damn time. That should be the name of this episode. At the same damn time.
Like, just all of that within like 90 seconds. I just, that was rough. Like, I can't even convey to you like how rough that was. We go to extra time. I don't think anybody really cared about extra time. Like, I think everybody was so tired and it was like, okay, we're just going to kick these penalties. And this is when you knew that we were probably going to lose, when both Chloe Kelly and Alex Greenwood missed their penalties. Like they were poor penalties. Like, right, like Rebecca Spencer did not really have to move to make a save on those penalties. So it was like,
she did guess right. Give her credit. She guessed right.
She guessed right.
She didn't have to do much once she did. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It was like they were not well taken penalties. Which is like, especially like for that, what those players have accomplished, like, especially taking penalties, like, that's not what you expect to see. It's just really, really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And Lando, you remember the point you made earlier about like contracts and Gaz and all this stuff. I want to say this, right? Garrett Taylor couldn't have done, I don't think he did anything wrong in this match. I think sadly players did not perform to their best.
Yeah.
Because if Bunny gets the aerial chance, if Kiara stays on her line and just lets it play out, if Alex Greenwood and Chloe Kelly do what they're supposed to do, what they train to do, what you have faith in them to do, you bring on Chloe Kelly. Clearly something was off of Kelly to where like, she can only go a certain amount of time, right? Because, like, she comes on early in that match if she can play more. So he's like, okay, we made it extra time. I got Chloe in my bag. She's going to get a run in. So it's not like you bring her on just for penalties. You say, hey, let's play. Maybe help us score. By the time you get the pins, it's like, okay, we got this. Kiar Keating's going to stop one. We're going to score five. That's your mindset. And for, like you said, Tom, it's just deflating. And I hate, like, this is where I always push back on, like, manager talk sometimes, because at the end of the day, like, watching basketball, players play. Coach can't make a shot, bro. If you open it, you got to shoot the shot. And these are open, these are wide open corner threes if you want to make a basketball comparison.
Yeah.
Once you get it wide open in the corner, you got to hit it. And it sucked we didn't. It's a terrible way to go out. We got one competition left. Just one.
I think that to confirm a bias from earlier, Lando, like if the only thing that I would say about Gareth Taylor and like these string of fixtures is that like you decided that you're going to start the 19-year-old every possible competition, and you're not giving her a break, and maybe she needs a mental break. And like, and that would be maybe the only thing that I would say is like, you know, maybe McIver should have started one of those matches.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, for a minute there, you were saying all those wonderful things and I'm just like, I can't help but completely agree. But if you didn't include a name, I'm just thinking, oh wait, you're talking about Julian Alvarez, who's been playing a lot and just needs a mental break. Just needs some time. Mm-hmm. Oh wait, same passion, same club.
Yep. Yep. So I mean,
bro,
you know, like Kiar is still 19 years old. So like, you know, like it, you know, being a professional is hard. Like and being a professional athlete is hard. Being a professional athlete at 19, you know, most people are not ready for that. Like, and so maybe she just needs a mental break.
I don't want to be so redundant, but Charlie's so right. I mean, if we would have hit shots in the 90 minutes or extra time, three shots on target all game, three. I mean, look, you can complain about the creativity. At the end of the day, that's what you produced. And you need to at least be able to finish more than what we did. And that's just, I know it's difficult. I know it's hard to complain. They're professional athletes, 19 years old, jet lag, all these wonderful things. I get it. They're all variables. They're variables that every player has to go through. And just Greenwood and Kelly missing those back to back. Really? Golly, just, dude. I hate pens. I hate pens, period.
Oh, Charlie, can't hear you. Can't hear you.
Yeah, talk to me, Charlie.
I was just saying, that's why I hate pens, because you don't want the match to get there. It's, yes, the favor, it's in your favor, but it's also like, it's too much at risk. People, you know, get the lemon booty, get a little tight, you know, you lose your technique just a little bit, and look what happens.
So, one competition, it's just this league. Let's go win the Super League. I hope that we're ready to pivot into that. Got a big match against Brighton. I know that that sounds really wonky, but Brighton did score 7 in their last league match.
They put a touchdown up on their last league match.
It was like, it was a touchdown field goal game. Like, cause Bristol actually like went for it and played. Cause like, they don't have anything to lose, or they're gonna get their relegated. So yeah, so why not? We're gonna come out and play. But we also owe Brighton, because that was the match where we had 30 shots and didn't score one of them, and then gave up that 89th minute goal. So at the Joy, so we owe them. we owe them proper payback. I'm gonna go ahead and say, because we know we need to score, we're going to try and score. So I'm going to go 4-1 us.
High scoring games here. They just scored a touchdown. Tom's over here saying 4-1, so 5 total goals. Charlie, what do you say?
Before I say my score, I want to say that Arsenal go to Chelsea on Friday. Yes. And we've never needed an Arsenal shutout so bad in our life. We need a draw. We need a draw so badly. I'm not going to ask
for them negative points. How do we find a way to get negative points in a game?
But like, we genuinely like need a draw, because if like the goal differential is 3, and so you just start doing numbers, and like after this, I don't have faith in anybody else in the WSL to beat Chelsea. Like,
go ahead, say the names. You're looking at the schedule. Give me the names. I need to hear names.
So, NWSL, they go to West Ham. They go to Spurs. Yeah. They host Villa.
Oh, yeah.
He's so right.
They go to Liverpool. They host Bristol. They got Bristol, bro. They're about to run up numbers.
They're about to put up 10 on Bristol.
I don't need right now.
See, because,
but it's facts though. Like,
because Bristol's, they've decided that if they're gonna go down, they're gonna go down swinging, and they're like gonna try and win every match that they're in at this point. So, they're gonna be open as hell. And that's how they got promoted from the championship. So,
we get them the week before. That helps. We get them on the 28th, the week before. Okay. So that kind of balances out. And then they finish the season going to United. And United's mid. Both sides of their club. Same club, same passion. So, you know, they are who they are. So I just don't like we need Arsenal to do us a favor. Like, if they can upset Chelsea at home, we have hope for this title. That's all I'm saying. And I hope it happens. But I drew my score prediction. I think we win 4-0. I think we go crazy.
I like that.
Get right, game. Get right. I'm gonna go big.
I thought I was gonna go easy. I'm going 3-0.
Okay. All right. I like it. Also, Arsenal, our men's club just did you a favor. The least your women's club could do is our women's club a favor.
Pay it back, guys. Pay it back. Common enemies out here.
Circle. Y'all want to get into this
pain? Let's do it up, man.
This pain and suffering.
No, this joy and pain, like sunshine and rain over here.
Oh, come on now.
That's good. He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
I still suffered for 45 minutes and more.
We did. We suffered a lot. We did suffer.
Yes. All right.
A hell of a lot, Jesus.
So, I know that when the lineup came out, I was excited because I was thinking that finally we are going to have enough defensive cover that we can play the way that Pep wants to play, which is have all of these attacking midfielders and Bernardo Silva running underneath Erling Haaland and just making shit happen, like just with the availability to pop up anywhere on the field, left, right, center, what have you.
Name names. So what made you happy? Well, who did you see in and who did you not see in?
So, I mean, we talked about it. It was the fact that you had Manuel Akanji as the linchpin as opposed to of the defense, as opposed to having Diaz there because
that's waiting Manuel for Akanji, it.
Manuel Akanji is a better athlete. Like,
crazy.
So you have your Charlie even said it was like you have your five most athletic center backs. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, at least you can count Rodri as one because, like, he's as big as one on the pitch. And they're also your, like, probably four of your five best ball playing center backs on the pitch as well. So you're feeling good about that. Like, your distribution is going to be good. And if for something happens, something goes wrong, you can always fall back to a flat back four, and you don't have to invert John Stones. You can just put him right next to Akanji and to flat back four and have Rodri sit in front of him, and we'll be all good. And then if we need to get width from the fullbacks, we can do that. Ake's shown he can do that. Kyle Walker obviously can do that. We're good, right? And I think for the first 20 minutes, it played out that way. Yes? I mean, to me, that's what I saw that was, like, working. Like,
Hold on. Before we go into what was working, I think we got to talk about who we were playing, right? Because with Liverpool, we know they were down. So they are down their keeper. Alisson was out. You have Keller in for him. They're down Konate. You had the young kid Kwanzaa come on for him. They're down Trent. You had Bradley come on for him. So that's three replacements, right? Mm-hmm. They're down Mo Salah. Harvey Elliott's in. So four of their top 11 are out. So we're actually playing. Now, we are on the road. We're at Anfield. The crowd is a crowd. The Klopp's last match against Pep. The hype has been building. Trent's comments. Everything's there. But we're playing a squad that has over a third of his team missing. And you expect when you see our squad to say, hey, we can get these guys. And like you say, Tom, now when we think about the first 15, 20 minutes, we are dominating this match. It just looks like, when are we going to score? And then how many will we get in the first half, right? Did you feel the same way, Lando?
The commentators wouldn't tell you so, if I'm going to be completely honest with you. Commentators, and I was in a situation, I was, you know, celebrating a little bit of a birthday with the family and stuff and, you know, good times. But the commentators were very biased, very, very biased to tell you that my eyes were deceiving me. Liverpool were playing outstanding to kind of restrain and hold off City. I thought the opposite. I thought City were flowing. I thought it looked quite well. And I am here to say, as the Ruben Diaz stan, I was 1,000% extremely happy with the lineup. Extremely happy with the lineup. Manuel Akanji 100% earned that starting spot the way he's been playing. I told you how much I loved and felt comfort in his beautiful goal that he gave us 5 minutes into the second leg in Copenhagen. And for that, I say, play on. You are in a vibe. You are in a groove. He earned that. So yeah, I love the lineup. But yeah.
Okay, so Charlie, I want to take it back to your point about the who they were missing. So where, like, based off of, like, seeing their lineup, seeing our lineup, where, like, who was going to take control of those individual matchups to exploit those players? And, like, were you, it, like, and did you, at what points in the match did you see that, and when did you not?
I would have liked to see, well, I think in the beginning, right, like, you want to put the pressure on the young fullback. You want to overload. You want to make him make decisions. You want to see, will he make a too aggressive of a tackle? Will he get out of place? Will he go too far up the pitch and get caught out, right? And honestly, everything we were doing was great. It was both sides of the pitch. Kevin's coming in. He's getting off shots. You know, Foden's doing a little bit. Bernardo's doing a little bit. Rodri's doing a little bit. I think the young back line, the young defenders did well. I got to give them credit. Like, there was nothing out there. If you would have told me Kwanzaa had been playing for 3 years and was a senior player, I would have been like, oh, I see it. If you would have told me Bradley was a 22-year-old, 23-year-old, I'd be like, oh, great. Like, I see it. Like, they were really good after the first 15. The onslaught happened, and then after that, I mean, one football set it off for me, bro. Like, I've never seen our thing look so red and orange. There is one green player on one football from Man City. His name is John Stones. He had an 8. There's nobody else above a 6.7. That's crazy. 4 players in the red. So, like, just to see how we were fighting for our life. Like, it was our bad. Life. But it was bad, but it was, like, beautiful. Like, this is what you do. You go on the road. You don't drop 2 points. You hold serve, because that's what you have to do. I put it in the chat, 8:59 Eastern. I said, a draw wouldn't be the worst thing today. But when you go up 1-0 and you're up at half, you're like, oh, we can win this, right? Like, who doesn't? You're up 1-0. And so, I don't know. Once we got to halftime, how did you feel, Lando?
Fucking ecstatic that we escaped going up 1-0. There towards the end, I thought they were trying to go ahead and push on us. I got a humbling, guys. I had to look myself in the mirror and understand that I was humbled a bit. Going into the second half, reflecting on this game, I think Anfield finally got me. I have talked a lot of shit about how that place is just regular. I have talked a lot of shit about how that place is just, yeah, they sing and they fill it up. If you get yourself a goal, they'll shut the fuck up. And for the most part, they started to do that. But then they started to come back and start getting them amped up, little things, recovering the ball, playing well against us. And Charlie's right. You have to give a lot of credit to the defensive line for being able to sustain the way that they did. You know, if I can sit here and give credit to our baby boo baddies to be able to hold down the fort, you know, during 1-0s, you can have the same type of look onto what they did and be able to say they held down the fort and were able to kind of, you know, battle. A lot of fortitude shown by them young boys. But I was happy, Charlie. I was happy that we had a 1-0 lead. Kind of wanted a little bit more. Kevin's brilliance on that corner. The ball didn't go out. The ball was, I mean, I know we, a long thing of Kevin De Bruyne, a beautiful moments that we have, but I don't know if the John Stones finish was as good as the ball being able to come in the way that it did inside. It was beautiful. I loved it. What'd you think, Tom?
And the set piece coach is in his fucking bag. Like, we called, like, Charlie was the one that called it on the live stream. Was like, Ake sets a little pick for Stones to get free, and you just see the little, like, just faint movement, and like, I think Nunez was actually the one that was supposed to be marking Stones, and like, he just completely lost him, like, and it wasn't like, and it just, like, the way that we've drawn up, like, that used to be like the bane of our existence. We would just, like, see, Lando, to your point, we would see all of these beautiful crosses in from Kevin and just, like, no execution on the exactly
every yeah. time
it was like time. and then hell, you were just so like, oh shit, they're gonna get caught out on the break, we're gonna get caught out on the break, and then, like, they're gonna score on us. Like, how many times, like, in the 19 season did, like, we let up like, have a corner and then, like, immediately let in a goal off of a corner that we just had. Mm-hmm. Just mind-blowing shit. So I think to make corners a true strength, like, that's been really refreshing to see. I was concerned going into half. I was like, Liverpool has really, really grown into this match, and like, they have made it the match that they want to play. Like, it reminded me in a way of, like, even though like the footy was beautiful as a whole, like, I said this on the live stream, and I will say it again, like, I will give Klopp and Liverpool this, like, all of the matches that that Pep versus Klopp, all of those matches head to head have always been interesting, because Klopp is still going to play. Like, other managers might decide, like, no, we're not going to play today. Like, we're just going to park the bus. Like, but Klopp has always been willing to play.
I will say, so, like, and I see the same thing with Ange, right? Ange isn't scared to play Pep. And those are the matches that make things happen, right? Poch was the same way. Poch would play at Pep. He wouldn't concede possession. Like,
Ange is a madman, though. Ange is a true madman. That man goes down two players, two red cards, and still plays a highlight. That's a madman. That's a man. That's a terrorist. That's a terrorist. That's terroristic as fuck. And I love it. You know what, Charlie? You're right. I agree with you.
Yeah, but to Klopp's point, like, to Tom's point about Klopp, like, once they made that sub for Salah, I was like, oh, we're in for it. We just got to hold down. Like, it didn't. I don't know. Go ahead.
I'm not even sure it was that, because like I remember thinking going into halftime, it's like, this is not good. Like,
it turned. Yeah.
Just like the pace of the match was like, knowing that they were going to bring Salah on, like, that was the problem. And I think that, like, coming back to, did Erling Haaland need to play those 45 minutes against Copenhagen? I am wondering if, like, a more refreshed version of Erling Haaland is a better option there, like, to help play out, like, you counter their counter, or like, at least control it some. I think that Charlie, you made the point on the live stream about this is a match that we would really miss Jack. Like, Jack would have been a key to this match, like, just to keep everything tranquilo. But like, what you had was like everybody who wanted to go, and not like somebody was like, okay, I'm going to even control this. And like, even when you bring Doku in, when we did, thinking he's going to help be an outlet, like, he, that's just too much go. Like, it's too much. Like, you are playing in, literally playing into Klopp's hands and what he wants you to do. So at that point, like, you're just screwed.
I'll be remiss if we didn't talk about my boy Ake. I stand
Nathan Ake. I was ready to do it
to the end. Lando, take it away, man. Talk about it.
Well, I'm afraid to say that I think it's bad news. I did a little bit of an in-depth breakdown earlier today. I suffered, guys. I suffered. Okay, let me be completely honest with you. I watched the replay back, but I only watched the second half.
Oh, I know. God!
I know. Oh, I did it on purpose.
You masochist.
Yeah, right? two indica joints, two indica joints, and a prime energy drink. The fruit punch flavor, the red can. Yeah, quality. I did it. And are you ready for the suffering?
Let's do it.
I got a feeling a lot of teams are about to be targeting that left back situation, and a Nathan Arge is prime to be the guy trying to get balls behind him. They tucked in Joe Gomez in the second half and decided to play let one midfielder kind of play in the back a little bit more. Reason why Endo looked so good, and the reason why Bernardo looked like fucking trash. Bernardo losing his head was really, really suffering for me in that second half. Really, really suffering for me. I mean, Pepto-Bismol suffering. It was fucking bad, man. I was just so frustrated with him. But Charlie, I don't know how I can't give you good news watching that second half. Yes, we could talk about the pass backwards and the ball to, with Ederson and all that. I'm not even telling. Yes, that's problematic. That's one mistake, though. What I'm telling you is that tactically, Liverpool targeted Nathan Ake in that second half. And that is what I say is bigger problems moving forward. Now, again, a bad problem to try to solve, because I don't think it necessarily gets solved with Josko Gvardiol. I think it gets solved with a true left back, which I have been begging for fucking years. But
are we still begging after winning a treble? Come on now. We're not doing this. I just want a treble.
And I'm thankful for the treble. I love the treble. Hold on.
Okay. He's putting up a picture for those on podcast. You see the five trophies. He has the frame. It's beautiful. The five. Cinco.
It just came in today. Finalized and everything.
Oh, beautiful.
Ooh.
I'm happy. I love the treble. But damn it, yeah. We need a solution to this, because Nathan Ake being out there and dominating as a defender can only be sustainable for so long. Yes, he bodied Saka. Yes, he's bodied great players in that position. But guys, they went at him and it worked.
Is it that it worked because...
the tuck-in with Gomez?
Yes, like, because like obviously, like, Klopp knew where to hit hardest and what was going to hurt the most.
Yeah.
Or, like, is it a function, like, because they... so, when did... Who moved centrally when Salah came on?
Joe Gomez went centrally, and then they went ballsy and only went with two people in the back, two center backs back there. They've literally said, fuck it. And they sent two up, and Gomez stayed lower. Endo pushed up a little bit more. Sobo, until he came off, pushed up a little bit more, and so on and so forth. Which is why we saw guys like Rodri, Bernardo, and Kevin be lost with the ball. The moment they broke the line past Bernardo, Rodri, and Kevin, we're fucked. We were fucked every time. I'm telling you, I can go back to the notes. I stopped tallying after seven. Pepto-Bismol kicked in. I had to go grab it real quick. I was in pain.
So this is where Klopp's brilliance comes on, right? Because and he got Pep, because once you bring on Robertson and you move Gomez to his natural right side, you open up the entire pitch.
Yeah.
And because before, Gomez is playing on the left side, you know he's not going to be an attacking threat at all, because he's been on his weaker foot and we know he can't do it, and that's okay. Yep. But once you bring on fresh Andy Robinson for the last 35 minutes, ready to go at you, and we know he can go, him and Trent, most assists ever. One team has the tie for most defender assists in the history of the Premier League. That is stupid. The same way Pep has done his stuff, Klopp has revolutionized fullbacks in Premier League. So you just knew, I knew I was in for it. And the suffering happened, especially after the penalty goes in. You know, Maka hits the penalty, but there's something to be said though for Pep coming back. He came back 8 minutes later. He made the big change. He made the change that pissed off 17, but I think it was the right change.
I think
if you leave Kevin De Bruyne on that pitch and he goes a full 90, he plays the last 20 plus minutes, I think we can see the second goal. If you leave Alvarez on that pitch, I think we can see the second goal. Both, and honestly, Phil Foden was terrible too. If you would have taken off, made a triple switch and taken off Foden and bring me on, I don't care if you bring on Bob, I don't care if you bring on Nunez. If you would have took them off, all of them played terrible matches. All of our attacking mids were terrible.
Yes.
It wasn't like they were okay. No. Everybody was shit.
Yes.
Kevin got the 6.7 because of the corner and he had an assist. Yes. But the rest of his game was trash and he looked old. And he was leggy, and I love him. But in this match, where it's a trap meet, you got to go. And you also have to defend. He can go forward. He doesn't go back. And that's why, like, so much I'll say, like, hey, Kev should play up top. Well, I love what we did against Arsenal last year when he was that second striker role, because you don't have defensive responsibilities. And that's the biggest thing we miss Jack on. It's not the offense for Jack. It's the fact that he basically becomes a wingback. He plays as a wingback with that mentality, the strength, the grit to go. His engine is bigger. Phil doesn't have it yet. Julian doesn't have it. Not yet. They're younger and they don't have that grit and that drive, and they aren't physically imposing. But like somehow, some way, we still get the Doku chance. That's crazy. Out of all the shit that we went through for 80 minutes, we still were inches or centimeters away from winning that match. Mm-hmm. And that's crazy. Or losing it, because there was another doc who played it. We can definitely talk about it if y'all want. But
Charlie's spitting hot fire right now, like dialogue. Hot fire.
I was waiting, bro. I was in this bitch, like, just getting ready. I felt like the Dragon Ball Z picture, just sitting here. Another DBZ reference, RIP to the GOAT. Yes. But just sitting here, like, ready, just in the chamber, like, ready to go. Because this match, watching two matches at the same time should never happen again. I don't know if we could do it, guys. I'm not participating again.
That was tough for you guys. Like, Crunk, we love you. We love you. And we did it because we love you. But don't make us do that shit again.
That change was a bitch.
Not a must.
And it was on the day that the times changed. Hell no. Like, yeah, no. Absolutely. No. There's like, we can't, like, too much was in the stars for that. No.
I'm still like recovering from yesterday today. I could feel it. Like, in my spirit, like, something is off. And watching two clubs that you love suffer simultaneously. Now, one
at the same damn time.
It's too much, man. It's too much. And now, we'll say this. If that Doku shot goes in, bro, do you know, it would have been like when Tom, you remember the first season of SOB when we had the Villa match and we were all going crazy on the watch along? Yes. We would have had one of those moments had that Doku shot went in.
Oh, yes.
If he hits that goal and we win the last match of Pep Klopp at Anfield, bro. First win at Anfield in forever. Scenes. Fucking scenes.
I'm going wild, bro. I'm on this bitch the whole time.
Just going off. Gritty forever. It didn't happen. And I think we got to be a great show. We got to be fair and balanced as we are. Was it a penalty on Doku? Yes or no? What do y'all got? What you got, Tom? I'll let you go first. What you got, Tom?
I mean, it's
reverse the colors of the shirt. Is that a penalty?
It sure as fuck was dangerous to me. Like, I don't know how you get more textbook dangerous play in the box than that.
Peligroso.
I'll take it.
Ooh, so peligroso.
I'll take it because it's my club, but if that's the standard to which we are calling, like, and I think that what's such the kicker about is, like, yes, the ref saw it in real time, but then another ref and his assistant looked at the shit and said no. Like, that's, to me, that's the larger crime. Like, it was two of y'all that looked at that shit and said no. And now
there's so many eyes.
And now Liverpool is like, they legitimately have like 2 points of contention this season with penalty, like, calls that should have gone their way.
Like, I will not complain about PGMOL anymore because they gave us one. Because I literally thought, I don't care. I know he got some of the ball. We see it with yellow cards all the time in the middle of the pitch. Just because you get the ball, the follow through matters. And where you hit somebody matters. And if you go studs up, that's a yellow. Here in the box, you kick the man in the fucking chest, bro. Like, it wasn't like you went two-footed at him. You didn't do a drop kick. This isn't Mortal Kombat or Tekken. But you also hit him in the chest with your boots. Like, we got lucky, y'all. We got so lucky. I'm grateful for the luck. It definitely sets in a crazy last 10 matches. Because if we go down 4 points, I think now everything is different, right? The whole scene looks different. Because there's only 1 point separating us with Arsenal, who has the crazy goal differential lead and is, you know, flying.
I'm going to be the guy. We lose that game, I think the league's over for us winning it. I'm not trying to be crazy and say it's too far.
No, I know what you're saying. No,
there's plenty of games left. I get it. Let's be completely honest.
And we push it, right? We could win out, but you go down 4 points with that schedule they have left.
Thank you, Charlie.
I don't know who's beating them twice.
That's exactly right.
So, like, that's exactly we're living. Right. Like, that's why I said joy and pain, right? Like, we had the joy of scoring first. We had the pain of conceding a penalty and one of my favorite players making a terrible back pass and seeing our keeper who's out for 4 weeks. Now, I trust Otego with my life. He was huge. We didn't even talk about him. Otego was massive. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a starting keeper the same way Keller was massive. Like, the keepers are a net negative. But to know that, like, we still could have won it, and it was almost in. It was almost the perfect super sub situation, which I think is Doku's best trait right now. Running at tired defenses, running at people that are scrambling, and doing what he does. The first shot he took was a little off, and we were like, ooh, that's a little off. But then he said, no, I'm still coming at you. And I love that in his game. He got that dog in him. He ain't scared.
Charlie, are you justifying right now the positivity to take away a point from Anfield? Because personally, I love
100%. Because that we had two results we needed. Either a win or a draw. You could not lose, but that's the beauty of football. The draw saves you. You get to live and see another day. And what are you saying Friday? Sometimes, son, but you live. Live to see another day. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Oh, that match was, it was a lot. It was just so fucking much. Maybe Erling Haaland needed to sit the second half of that Copenhagen match because
it wouldn't have hurt.
I don't know if the legs would have been fresher or something, like, just maybe.
It's all coming back to me. Lando, did you think Haaland was going to take Van Dijk when he had that 1v1?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it?
I did see it. Of course, I saw it. Yeah. I loved it. I'm happy that he went at him. In real time, my father-in-law afterwards said, weak shot. Wish he could have got more on the shot. But for a man that big to go at him and still keep the ball the way that he did was quite impressive. And I just thought to myself, I love that he has the energy and he sustains that, but we just got done talking about tactics, and I'm not going to let go of the fact that Tom just brought up the fact that if he didn't play 90 minutes in Copenhagen, maybe he'd been a little bit more fresh. We needed more pressure on that back line for Liverpool. And Tom's not wrong. This is something, if we talk about improving, I know all the dribbling and the hold-up play. I think he can learn a little bit more from Bunny Shaw. You know what he needs to do, truthfully? With the Boston Celtics getting all up in there and fucking playing footsie and shit. Speaking of, go Knicks. Fuck Boston. Get in there and work on fucking boxing out. Get in there and work with the big men on some boxing out drills, because that's essentially what a hold-up play is when you get that ball brought to you. And I actually think Erling's not bad at that. But if I had to pick one thing... Yeah, we have. You're absolutely right. And
Arsenal match.
Yeah, exactly. The Arsenal match last year. Beautiful hold-up play. Assisted on the great Kevin goal that still lives with us to this day. I hear you. I think he can improve. He's there. But this is my one bit. To Tom's point, the work rate defensively when we do not have the fucking ball. Be a big man and read the next pass and put fucking pressure on the back line. I would love to get ourselves an easy goal based on your fucking effort and hustle. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it would be nice. And to that point, I will say this. With all the negatives that happened, so many players, by whatever metric you want to use, playing probably their worst game of the season. I don't think those players will have – you won't see that much red ever again on a Man City score sheet or a player rating sheet. We still got a point. We still got 10 matches. We got Arsenal in 3 weeks. We can take over this whole thing. And everybody knows it. If you look at – I subscribe to a lot of football stuff on YouTube. People are still like – somebody's like, it's still City to lose, because they know Liverpool's not going to win 10 straight. They know that if we beat Arsenal, we can win 10 straight. We've done it.
It's wild.
Yeah.
And when you look back at history, and when you've beaten Liverpool in two run-ins, not one but twice, the first season of SOB and the 21-22 season, and then obviously that epic season – that went all the way where Liverpool lost by one a few years before COVID. Like, it's real. Like, we do this. That's the built up winning that happens over time. And all we know is how to win. We don't know how to lose title races. We don't.
It reminds, like, this week is like the perfect to me, like, Nick Saban game, in that, like, you know that you did not necessarily get the best result, and you know that the process was also not great. So now you have a full week of practice, because you don't have a midweek match.
Praise God.
And so you have a full week of training. So now you get to, like, actually, like, no, this is how we are going to play today. Like, so, like, who's next on the schedule, fellas?
Newcastle.
Newcastle in the FA Cup. Oh God, mm-hmm. Get ready, Eddie Howe. Because it's on site. Just because this is one of those classic weeks that you know that because you have the whole week and it is a cup, and because it's a cup competition too, so you have to advance. This is going to be probably one of the worst weeks in Manchester City training history, as far as for at least this season. They're going to be like, oh man, y'all remember that week of Newcastle training? I swear to God, I wanted to kill Pep. But I'm glad he did. After the season, I'm glad he did it because we needed it. But I wanted to kill Pep in that moment. So
are you predicting if you're tired, fuck you practice incoming? You're tired, yes. Fuck you practice is incoming? Yes. I think you're so right on this.
Yes.
You might be so right on this, truthfully. Yeah, this is perfect time.
Because you can. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have that midweek match, and so you're not and this is a cup competition too. I don't know. Let's jump into that match. Where are you guys coming down as far as what type of lineup are you expecting to see? Are you expecting to see something more like we saw against Copenhagen, or are you expecting to see what we took to Anfield?
Go ahead, Charlie.
Well, I want to start off with this, right? I'm glad we're recording on Monday for this reason. I didn't watch it at all, but I know Newcastle gave up 3 goals to Chelsea. And I know in their lineup, Newcastle's just as healthy as they've been all season. They have their front three back of Gordon, Isak, and Almiron. They started a midfielder. Still don't have Joe Linton, but they started Longstaff, Willock, and Bruno.
Yep.
And then the white back three, the white back four, and then Livramento on the right. No Trippier. Is he hurt? He wasn't on the bench, so that's interesting. So, going against that lineup, Newcastle plays. We know how Eddie Howe plays. Eddie Howe does not beat Pep. Other than he draws, we had to win crazy match to start off last season. So I see a very similar lineup to today, although I think Diaz gets back out there. I think you bring on Vardiol. And it's not so much of mistakes by Ake and Akanji. I think you just say, hey, we need more attacking from Vardiol over Ake. We need a left-sided thing. And I think you say, hey, Diaz, you're fresh, you're rested, go lock Isak down. Now, the pace is there. I think Isak's probably one of the fastest strikers in the Premier League, but I also know he can't body Ruben. And so I think that happens. I think we see Kyle again. It gets interesting on if you play John Stones again. I mean, he gets a whole week of rest, and I think he should be fine. But I don't know how you change that front group unless you say, hey, start Doku over Alvarez. So that would be the only change I would make in the front five. I think you let Foden come back and work his way up. Bernardo has a better match. Kevin, who has some shots. Kevin was shooting, and he wasn't shooting before, so that was good to see. So I would start Doku over Hooley and let Hooley now come on and put pressure if we need it, right? Have a fresh Hooley to be there for those last 15 minutes if we need something. What do you think happens, Tom?
See, I think that this is a match where I want everybody to hold their breath while I say this. I think that this is another match where Rodri gets a rest. I think that I know.
So you said, hold my breath and almost passed out.
I know. I think to me, this is the match where you play a lineup similar to what you played at Luton. Give Mateus, Nunez, maybe a start with alongside Kovacic. Go ahead and start Kevin. And then, no, I would not necessarily start John Stones in this particular match.
I agree.
You could, but I would not. I would start Vardiol in this particular match because I do think that you do need to have that athleticism in your back line. I think what we're seeing is that Nathan Ake is not an athlete. He's not an athlete enough to like be the true lockdown left-sided left.
He's lost half a step.
Yeah.
He's not the same as he was last year. You can see it. Something's off. I don't know if it's injury or whatever, but like he looks.
No. I think we're being too cruel. And we're not giving enough credit to Jack Gucci Grealish, who gives you a level of comfort in knowing that the work rate comes down and helps on the left side.
You're right.
There is a peace of mind in knowing that when I'm about to fumble up a stat, I know that I have a great teammate in Charlie coming at me with the proper stat. I have that comfort of mind. It's a peace of mind knowing that if I have something prepared and I know where I'm going with it, I know coming into this fucking pod, Charlie came with the pre-work. Charlie ain't one to fuck around with. Sharpie Charlie stats are real. It's the same concept. Nathan Ake works well. There's a peace of mind in knowing I'm going to give everything right now to Bukayo Saka, and he's about to get this work, because if something fucks up, Gucci's right there.
That's true.
Gucci Puma, damn. Lando, now clip that shit, Kronk.
Put that on the show immediately.
But it doesn't solve the issue. I mean, it doesn't necessarily solve the issue because Gucci Jack is hurt. I deeply miss him. I guess what I'm basically saying is, please take me serious when I say we need a fucking left back. Please.
I was going to say, now you know what you need to do, Doku and Huli. Whoever's on the left, you have to match what Grealish does.
Right.
The same, because Phil will go at, Phil does run back. He will track back on the right.
100%.
Right. 100%. And Bernardo obviously gets back too. So you got to get your engine up, get those lungs. But do we do score predictions now? Before we, because this match happens first and then the women play on. We already did women. Yeah. So who we got for Newcastle? Who y'all got?
I got us 3-0. I got us 3-0. Yeah. Okay. Also, I got a Scott Carson start.
Wow.
I would love it only because Pep would say we can't lose our keeper, but I that would be so disrespectful, dog. Like,
dog.
I hope it happens.
Dog.
Scott Carson start.
I feel like his last start was against Newcastle when it happened, like in 21. I feel like he did play against Newcastle.
Leicester? Wasn't it Leicester?
Maybe it was Leicester. I'm gonna look it up as we talk.
But I mean, hey, if we're going that far, I mean. Hollywood Kickbacks, I hope you're listening. FA Cup man? Question mark. I mean, if you're gonna put Carson, I mean, look, what's the first player? What's the player that comes to mind?
All right. Okay.
That we have to take this game serious.
No. Like, so here's okay, Lando. Let me ask you this. So we are quote unquote raising.
It was Newcastle. Yes.
It was Newcastle.
Charlie's May 2021 is incredible.
We are raising Gomez to be a defender. What if to give Nathan Ake some cover, we just put him out on the left wing?
Because he does. That works. People joke Gomez. I like Gomez a lot. I love what he has.
I love
Sergio. He's a train. Yeah. Like, grows into it. It's a smaller Cancelo, honestly.
Yeah, I think that he could do that. And I think that, like,
I agree.
If you do start Ake there, like, I think that might just be a consideration that you might want to take with you further. Like,
I like it.
I don't like, maybe that's, you know, for some April knockout stage matches just in the Champions League, because you need it. So. Yeah.
They're coming. Quick note here. The draw for the quarterfinals is this Friday. Champions League round of 16 wraps up on Wednesday. The draw is on Friday after the Europa League finishes on Thursday. So it's going to be interesting to see who we get for those midweek matches the week of April 8, 9, and 16, 17, those two midweeks in April. But for my score prediction, I think it's tough. I think Newcastle gives a fight. I know they press hard, too. But I also think their back line is worse than Liverpool's. So I'm going to say we win 3-1.
Fuck. I was going to go 3-1. 4-2. It's going to be a two-goal two-goal differential. I'm kind of bothered that we're going to give up two. But, 4-2.
And I love that it's at home. We have the next three matches at home, by the way.
That's, which is
Newcastle, Arsenal, Palace. Oh, I mean, Aston Villa. Yeah, Aston Villa. That's, yeah, this is a really great time to batten the hatches and let's get advanced to the semifinals, and then let's get 6 points and keep moving.
Damn right.
All right. So let's get out of here on some world footy shock, awe, and applause. Who wants to go first?
I'll start real quick. I know we talk about them a lot. We go hard at them. Did y'all see what Bayern Munich did? In case you missed it, they absolutely went fucking crazy on Saturday against Mainz. 8-1. A touchdown and a two-point conversion. They said no extra point. Two-point conversion on these hoes. And so that, I mean, they're not going to catch Leverkusen just off points. But when you think about Champions League and you got a club with those players who have, most of them have won it, not Harry, but a lot of them have, they know what it's like. Like Thomas Müller is not going down without a fight. Like if we get them in the quarterfinals or the semis again, it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a fight. And Harry Kane, the man scores goals. He's going to break – he should break Lewandowski's record in his first season, which is equivalent to what Haaland did in Premier League, right? Like, you come in, you just break the records. So, credit to Bayern. Tuchel's not going down without a fight. They're going to have a lot of changes this summer, but the players there are still world-class. So, I just want to have an eye on them. What you got, Lando?
Fuck football for a minute. I've had a chance to see – this woman's brilliance in person.
Come on.
And now I've had a chance to see this woman's brilliance in another level, in another way. Dawn Staley, I salute you. Dawn Staley, you are absolutely magnificent as a coach of people, as a leader of, I hope, men one day. Yeah, I said it. I think Dawn Staley can coach a men's team and be successful. She is an absolute pivotal cornerstone to the next generation of women's basketball. And I hope people get to see her brilliance. I just love what she's doing. Another second undefeated season, went all the way through the SEC. I love local ball, so I get a chance to see it. I love her. I love everything about South Carolina women's basketball right now.
Back-to-back undefeated seasons before the tournament with a different starting five. Almost impossible to do. You usually have some carryover. She said, nah, y'all go, y'all grow, y'all old, bye. We good. Incredible.
Taking some local talent too. Two out of the five starters are local from Colombia.
Oh, that's dope.
Just like she got Asia. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, she's on Recruiter State. She ain't losing.
No. I mean, I had this conversation with my dad the other day. It was like, she is the most influential college basketball coach right now. And it's not even close.
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
Not even close.
Nope. Like,
and the Olympics coach. She just coached the Olympics. I think she's doing it again this summer, I think.
Yes, she is. She's
going to Paris. She runs women's basketball. It runs through Dawn Staley.
And I've come full 180 on her. I, if I'm honest, I come from the age where I saw her as a player, and I favored Teresa Witherspoon because I was a New York Liberty fan. So right. I actually loved Teresa Witherspoon. And to see how Dawn Staley has come about, and from a playing career, but also from I mean, Tom, you're spot on, dude. She's just in attire, just in dress and daily drip. I look to her IG account. She is incredible.
The Gucci hoodie, the Gucci fit she had on in the championship game, bro.
Wild, bro.
Crazy.
Wild, bro.
Just ridiculous. Like, I looked at it, and at first I'm like, oh, black hoodie, cool. Oh, it's got that Gucci shit on it. Oh, bro. And she said, I like to look rich. Me and my roommate talk about my best friend. Like, I like to look rich. So she does.
She does.
Studied hoops, diamonds, iced out. Legend.
Yeah, bro.
And she's so humble, bro. I hate to be on this train, but she's so humble. I've seen her so many times stop without problem, just for anyone who's just walking by. Yeah, no problem. Take a picture. It's mainly students for the most part, but bro, she is a gem on campus. I've just had it, and I'll be real. I'm a New Yorker. I love to call out celebrities when they're dicks. I love to see it because we see it often in New York. I'll be honest. We really do. Like, my dad loved them, but I I heard often he was a dick in Manhattan. Matthew Broderick. My dad loved seeing Matthew Broderick in person. Like, cause he was like, oh, we so cool with him. I heard evil shit about Matthew Broderick. Evil, evil shit. So to see her as a gem, as an angel, man, she's got my heart, bro. I love me some Dawn.
I love Dawn Staley too. I do. Also just gonna go ahead and put this out there. Fuck Kim Mulkey.
Fuck her five ever, not even four, five ever.
Correct. Her
general demeanor is just she's a shit person.
Yeah, shit yeah, person. Yeah.
He said she dresses like old dude from y'all see that meme? It was like she dressed like somebody from Martin. That shit was hilarious. It kind of seems
crazy. I've seen her with plenty of shit.
It's wild. She does not. No, when you say put that shit on, you got to really be like poop emoji. Yeah. She puts that shit on. Yes, correct.
I just want to boo CONCACAF real quick.
Okay.
Like,
I like
this
it.
Always.
CONCACAF Gold Cup tournament. First of all, there was no reason to play El Splashico between Canada and the United States. In no way was that safe for any of the players that were on the pitch. Y'all know better than that.
They've stopped it for less too. They can't even correct. Say that they haven't.
Yes, like so I understand that it would have been a pain in the ass to reschedule that game, but those players deserve that, and you know that. Do better. Also, it is an absolute crime that there was not a third place match for this particular tournament, because I know that the form that Mexico was in, I wanted to watch them play Canada. Like, it probably would have been a whole hell of a lot more entertaining than the final was. But it pains me deeply that CONCACAF decided that did not need a third place match. And you could
did the men have a third place match? I just want to just
yes, and the first year they did, yeah. Match.
Yes.
Just want to make sure. That's all. Okay. Just want to make sure.
Completely fucked up.
Yeah. So just like, and you can't, and knowing that you were having the tournament in Southern California, you can't tell me like that you didn't think that, oh well, we're gonna have the final at Snapdragon, maybe we in San Diego, maybe we can have the third place match at Dignity Health Sports Park, where they played some of the earlier matches. You can't tell me that you don't think that you would make money hand over fist with the Canada-Mexico third place game?
Mexico anywhere in the state of California. Sell out.
Boom.
Like, men or women. That area. Yeah.
Men or women. Like, just boom. Like, you were going to make money. Like, and so I don't understand it. CONCACAF, do better. I'm glad that you're finally having this tournament. And it was a very smart idea to invite some CONMEBOL teams. Maybe next time invite some other teams from some other federations. And to kind of keep that tradition going. Yeah, CONCACAF raise the stakes on this tournament. Be serious and treat it as a serious tournament. Yeah. But then again, I know that I'm asking CONCACAF to be serious. So
yeah, it's those expectations, right?
Like, clearly I'm the one with the problem.
How dare you? How dare you expect respect and decency and appropriate just functioning of tournament day in and day out operations? How dare you?
I know. Just day-to-day logistics. I don't even know.
Yeah.
All right. Ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, non-binary children, and grown-ups. We are done with all the show today. Yeah, all y'all.
We love you.
We love you. We're done with the show today. Thank you so much for kicking it with us. Had a great time. Gentlemen, plug yourselves on these social media streets.
Hit me up, Shoppy Charlie, on Twitter.
At Lando Martin, LandoMatrne. And of course, hit up the Shades of Blue podcast.
Please hit up the Shades of Blue podcast. And you already know the vibes. Shady gang, shady gang, shady gang.